In Ephesians 4, Paul gives us a little bit of a look into this as to what it means for people of faith, for you and for I. And you've heard me share this before, that the life of a Christian, the life of faith, the life of trying to look like Jesus is a journey and a striving that never ends. But that doesn't mean that we stay learners only all of our life. We have to turn learning into doing. We have to learn trying and refine it into being. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 11, and I'm going to share these verses 11 through 16 with you. You'll find them on our screen. If you want to flip to them on your devices or whatever you would like to, you're welcome to. Verse 11 says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. He's talking about the gifts. He's talking about these callings. He's talking about these purposes. And I know what most of you are thinking. You're thinking, phew, I'm glad I'm not on the list. Right? I mean, when I read this, I begin to think, okay. Some, that sounds like less than most, right? Like how many, I mean, that's an amorphous number. What does some plus some plus some plus some equal? Some. I'm going to go ahead and tell you though. I think some plus some plus some plus some equals all y'all, right? I think that's what it equals. It doesn't mean all y'all are going to be teachers. All y'all are going to be evangelists or apostles or prophets. But you see, sometimes I think we read this and we think, you know what? That's for somebody else. That's for the paid staff. That's for my Sunday school teacher. That's for the person who's involved in ministry that is just a saint. That's for someone else. But I don't think that it is. And Paul continues to walk us through that a little bit. We go on to verse 12. It says, his purpose, talking about God's purpose, was to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ. The purpose was to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ. Now, it tells us right there, we've been talking about the purposes of God. We've talked about the purposes of being called to a life of faith, and we kind of summarize them to help ourselves with worship and discipleship and fellowship and caring for one another, right? And for discipleship and for ministry. Paul sums them up and says the purpose is to serve and to build up the body of Christ. Moving on to verse 13, it says, until all y'all reach the unity of faith and knowledge of God's Son. And I'm included in all y'all. I don't mean y'all and there's a separation. Us. Until we all reach the unity of faith and knowledge of God's Son. You see, some apostles, some teachers, some evangelists, some of these things. But then Paul is very clear. Until we all reach the unity of faith and knowledge of God's Son. Continuing on in this verse, God's goal is for us to become mature adults. Well, that's not a lot of fun. God's goal is for us to become mature adults. Now, here's where I hear this in the church, and we've discussed this a little bit before, but we say, man, we're just supposed to have faith like a child. I believe that Paul tells us we're supposed to have faith like an adult, right? Now, if we want to break down the innocence of a child and what it means to kind of have this purity of faith, but sometimes when we say that, we mean just do what I say. Just subscribe. Don't have doubts. Don't have questions. You remember the disciples? Everybody worshiped, but some doubted. We are called, all, every one of us, to be fully grown, to be measured by the standard of the fullness of Christ. Now, I got to be honest, when I read that last part, the little not fair part of me goes off. And I'm like, I can't be, why would I measure myself against something perfect? Right? I can't get there. So part of me wants to say, well, why even try if I can't get there? Perhaps you have that part of you, perhaps you don't, and you're just better than me. You can send me an email or something later. But we are all called to continue growing, to become mature adults. And when we say faith like a child, I hope that we put it in some context to where it doesn't mean just believe and just do what I say and just agree and just ascribe. But to say what? You know, we worship even in doubt. We struggle We have questions. Because you know what? When I talk to the younger generation, they have a lot of questions. And they're awesome questions. But if we don't give them a place to ask questions, they're going to leave faith behind. They're going to leave the church behind. And it doesn't mean that there isn't truth. It doesn't mean that there isn't doctrine. It doesn't mean that there isn't, but the way that we go about it and how we explain it and how we allow them to be a part of understanding is part of why I love confirmation class that we're having right now. Because it's a time where they can ask questions. It's a time where they can explore. It's a time where we hope that they will take it for their own. But it's a place where they are learning what it looks like to no longer have faith just like a child, but to grow upon that in the way that God would have them to. Paul goes on, and he gets a little even more explicit here. He says in verse 14, as a result, we aren't supposed to be infants any longer who can be tossed and blown around by every wind. As a result, we aren't supposed to be infants any longer. Moving on to verse 15, it says, instead, by speaking the truth in love, let's grow in every way into Christ. By speaking the truth in love, let's grow in every way into Christ. You see, he doesn't say, let the evangelists grow as evangelists, although he certainly means that. He doesn't say, let the teachers grow as teachers, although he certainly means that. I believe that Paul is saying, let all of us continue to grow in every way that we can, with the goal of one day becoming as much like Christ as can possibly be true. And then it continues, let's grow in every way into Christ, verse 16. Who is the head? The whole body grows from him. Who is the head? The whole body grows from him. We are directly connected to Jesus. Now, that became very important for the church about 500 years ago. We didn't need an intermediary. You're not connected to Jesus through me. You're not connected to Jesus through your mama. You're not connected to Jesus because of someone else's prayer. You're not connected to Jesus because the right person did your baptism. You're not connected to Jesus because you chose the right spouse. Now, do all of those things help? Absolutely. But you are connected to Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. We are each connected. The whole body grows from him as it is joined and held together by all the supporting ligaments. Held together by all the supporting ligaments. All. Not some. Not a few. Everyone is a part of this. Now, I love this last line, but I think it's hard. It says, the body makes itself grow. This is the last part of verse 16. The body makes itself grow in that it builds itself up with love as each one does its part. Now, the body makes itself grow. Now, I think with faith like a child, we would say, that's all God's responsibility. I'm just going to go out and try, and that's on God. But here in Ephesians 4, Paul says, the body makes itself grow. Now, do we grow through the grace of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Do we grow through the power of the Holy Spirit by a creator who made it to work that way? Absolutely. But the act of becoming doesn't remove the responsibility of being. We are called as the church, as individuals, to continue the process of what it means to be built up, to come to unity, to come into maturity and fullness, and to be the most like Christ we can possibly be. The body makes itself grow in that it builds itself up with love as each one does its part. There it is again. Not as some do their part. Not as some plus some plus some plus some do their parts. but as each and every one does its part. My friends, there is a danger in the modern church. I had two people ask me this past week, what are you getting at with that sermon series? Right? And I thought about it and I was like, I should have an ulterior motive. But the honest truth is that we get blinders. And we begin to think the things that we are passionate about are the only things that exist or are worthwhile. We begin to think that the way that we interpret what God is doing in the world is the only way to understand it. We begin to think that the things that we are passionate about, the way that we want to worship God most, whether that's through experience, whether that's through discipleship and knowledge, whether that's through being out in the community, doing whatever, that those are the only ways, and anybody who doesn't do it our way is wrong. And that's going to lead to division and the breakup of the church. What I want for us is to look around and see each other and appreciate the beauty and the gifts that each one of us brings. That we each are the way we are because we're connected to who Jesus is. That we each grew out of the head, and that each one of us is a part of becoming and building up the other. Each one of us is a part of that connection. No one is more important than the other. No one is better gifted or more gifted. It may be in a particular area with a particular skill, but that doesn't mean it's any better. It's just different. And it takes all of us to make up that whole. It takes all of us. We don't do it for a season and then our time ends. We continue to grow. But you see, sometimes discipleship can become self-focused. That we take on this task of learning for me because it's about me and what I know. And we forget that it was always meant to be a part of turning you into the most like Christ you can possibly be, so that we can build up others and love others and make this world a better place in every way we possibly can. We don't let becoming stop us from being. We've talked through that disciples are people who worship. We worship when we're feeling it, and we worship when we're not feeling it. We worship in times that are good, when we're the ones who can say, this is what God is doing in the world, and this is why it is so awesome, and I see these God sightings, and we worship in times when what we really want to say is, I have an unspoken prayer request, but what we mean is, I am scared to death because I don't know what's going to happen to myself or the one I love or whatever it is. But yet, for some reason, we come and we worship. We fellowship. You know, we're having Sunday fun day. And man, I love trivia. Do you love trivia? Yeah. You know what I love even more? I love being the body of Christ. We have Sunday fun day, not because we need one more program, not because trivia is the greatest thing since sliced bread. We are having it slightly because of Miss Nell's strawberry cake. Right? But we are having it because it's part of what it looks like to be the body of Christ, to have fun together, to enjoy life together, to share together, to break bread together, to have things in common together. We talk about discipleship, our Bible studies, our lay servant ministries that Mr. Bruce is putting on out in the community for everyone in our district to take part in. It's not because we just want to learn more, we do. But we want to be a part of building up the church, to live out its purposes of loving God, of loving neighbor, and of making this world a better place. We shared today that we are people who are moved into service and ministry. We have empty bowls. Today, when you come up for the offering and you sit here at the rails, you may notice some people drop some cash on the rails. That's because any money that is put down here goes towards our good neighbor ministry. And it helps pay utility bills for people in the community who aren't able to make ends meet this particular month. There are so many things that go on. Because a Christian is committed to becoming. A Christian is committed to growing. But a Christian is committed to being. To being who God always created them to be. To being as much like Christ as humanly possible. And that takes all that we have for all of our lives in all the ways that we possibly can. And that is terrifying, and that is unbelievably fantastic. And I'm glad that we serve a God like that. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for not letting us continue to just simply be ourselves. Thank you that you have called us to something more, something bigger than just you and I. You have called us to be us, to be your body, to be one with Jesus. And we ask that you would continue to turn us into the people that you have always intended us to be. In your son's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite